Hi guys, this is your pal Drew. I'm sitting in the recording studio with book on tape author BB Cherry. We're here with her three dogs, and if you hear any scratching in the back, that's probably Alice or Petey or Scooter. So bear with us, sit back and have fun. We're going to find out what it's like to make a book on tape.
It's an audiobook.
There we go. That's my first lesson. You guys don't call them books on tape?
Books on Tape is actually the name of a company, and many people don't put them out just on tape, which I have done, but I plan to expand.
Well, your book that isn't on tape, that's a book, audio book, is called Ivy Appleton, Prop Widow. I've got a copy of it here in my hand. I know a little bit about it since I did the artwork for you, and I appreciate getting
it's
called in to
beautiful do. Artwork.
It was fun to work on. It was great fun to work on a spider box like this. A spider box is the name of the contraption that these tapes are housed in. And it's a lot of fun for a graphic designer to lay artwork out like this and get published in our own little way. So I feel like that I helped. So
you did. You were a great help.
Oh, I had fun. Ivy Appleton, Prop Widow, an unabridged recording narrated by Barbara Benjamin Creel with featured performances by Anthony Simcoe and Andy Hallett. I know who all these people are, but let's run down the list real quick. Barbara Benjamin Creel is an Atlanta audio voice, somebody that...
She does do voice work. She's a singer, and she studied to be an actress, but she doesn't do very much of that.
So she specializes in...
And she likes voice work.
Yeah, I understand that she does some of the telephone systems.
Yes, she does.
You probably heard her on hold.
Yes, she's the annoying menu lady in some things.
Well, she's not an annoying person.
No. People usually, yes, she actually does fine work, and annoying menu voices are changing anyway.
Anthony Simcoe and Andy Hallett, those are names that science fiction geeks might know. I didn't know them, even though I am a science fiction geek. Tell me who these two guys are. I'll let you hold the...
Anthony, I know who they are. Okay. Anthony Simcoe was, he played Ka-Dargo on Farscape.
Ka-Dargo! That's fun to say.
Ka-Dargo.
Oh, Ka-Dargo.
Yeah, he was Dargo for short. But he's a very tall man. He's an Australian man, and with a really amazing boomy voice. And he plays the part of Kelly Appleton, who is Ivy Appleton's husband. And Andy Hallett played Lorne, or the host, on the WB series Angel,
which was very popular.
I know you didn't get into that.
I did catch up on Buffy a little bit on Saturday nights at midnight here now that it's canceled or not on anymore.
Stephen DeKnight, Joss Whedon. He's amazing. Joss was the creator.
The Firefly series is coming out soon in movies, and I know that all of you Joss Whedon fans are chomping at the bit to see that. So, we got the dogs coming over to visit. Hope they don't unplug anything.
He just wants to sit down under you. There you go.
That's fine.
I was happy.
So both of these guys came in studio. How did you record them?
Oh, no. Anthony was in Australia shooting Farscape, and we found a studio there in Australia. So it was, was it the middle of the night for him? I don't know what the time difference is. I can't remember. It's like a whole day or a day and a half, or it was yesterday there.
I get confused if I drive out of the state.
But it's also a different season. It was very hot for him there. And he ended up taking his shirt off during the recording session because it was so hot in the studio. Because, they can't have fans running because
it makes noise.
Yeah.
I'm not panting, by the way. This is Alice, her dog, panting over here. So, yeah. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun,
anyway,
and it sounds
kind
of complicated.
I suppose it was complicated for the engineer. All I had to do was, be on the phone and listen.
Well,
and Barbara directed the sessions also on the phone, talking long distance to Australia. And the same with Andy, except he was in L.A.
Talk to me about where the idea for Ivy Appleton, Prop Widow, came from.
Well, Barbara, who read the book, her husband is a prop master. And I can't even remember. He's away a lot. And I remember asking her at one point if she ever went to see him for a surprise visit. And she just... she got cross-eyed at me and she said, no, she would never be quite that stupid.
Right.
Not that her husband isn't a great guy or that he would ever do anything untoward, but, her theory is, why risk that?
Right.
Why, when you can call and say, hi, I'm here. Anyway, it just started. I remember I was in the shower and the ideas started to bubble about what would happen if a crew member's wife did pay a surprise visit and the worst possible scenario happened. Or
one of many.
You know, I think what happened to Ivy is a nightmare. You know, what it, seemingly or no, a nightmare is a nightmare.
Well, it's you're saying nightmare, but it is a fun romp also. It's a silly book.
It's a screwball adventure. I mean, I suppose you could call it a mystery because there is a mystery in there.
Sure. The mystery is kind of the backdrop for just watching Ivy in action. It's kind of like an Inspector Clouseau thing.
The characters, it really is character driven. I come from a theater background, and character and dialogue are what are so important to me.
Sure.
I had to really force myself to write exposition and description. I mean, I felt like I did all right with it. But I would just as soon never have to write exposition and explanation and descriptions.
So you guys self-distributed these. You didn't go with a big distributor. And I believe that there was a reason you don't have a big enough library yet.
It was always my intention to start the company with Barbara and be independent. That's just in both of our natures. As far as finding distributors, yes, only having one book on offer does make a difference. There is a very large MP3 download company.
Audible.com.
Audible. And I spoke to them, and they were happy to take the book, but they wouldn't take less than three.
So you need to get busy. You need to
I just crank out a couple more books.
So are you working on some more Ivy Appleton adventures?
I have half of an Ivy Appleton already written. I had it half written when I started Prop Widow. The second book, which was really the first book, is called Unconventional because it takes place at a fan convention, very much like the very huge and famous Dragon Con that takes place here in Atlanta. Is it Labor Day? Labor Day weekend?
It's Labor Day weekend. I've been to Dragon Con a couple of times. That's comedy
times.
To us.
Yes.
For you, those of you listening.
yes, since its inception, perhaps. Unconventional started out, and I was happy with the story, but not especially happy with the voice.
You're talking about the author's voice?
The author's voice. Obviously, you don't read the book until it's completed. And so I wasn't quite happy with the way it was going, and someone suggested that I write the backstory of Ivy and some of the characters. And the backstory, specifically with Ivy and Harvey Moss, the book just sort of got away. The backstory began to turn into a novel on its own.
Right.
And I was so excited by that, I went with it. And coming back to Unconventional has been difficult, because when you put a book down for 2 or 3 years, it's just hard to sort of work yourself back into it.
Well, I'm hoping you do, because I have listened to Ivy Appleton Prop Widow, and it's a lot of fun. I think that it really is kind of it's a chick book. It's a chick audio book.
They call it chick lit.
Chick lit. That's what it is. You really get inside the head of the girls, and you realize that as shocked as they are by what we think of all the time, that what you guys think of all the time, at least you as the writer.
I have no idea what all women think about. I only know where my brain goes. And I, you know, sometimes the Cirque du Soleil sets up a tent in my head. And
this is kind of like a Bridget Jones kind of a feel to it.
Oh, that's flattering. You know, Bridget Jones was originally published independently, I believe. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's right.
Check your Google.
I think that's right. And, you know, don't write me letters if I'm wrong. But I think that's right. And look what happened to that.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, and Ivy is not the same as Bridget. I mean, I think they're probably close to the same age. Ivy might be older, and she's definitely settled and married, but her brain goes off. She does a whole 5 minutes on curtains in hotel rooms, because that's the stuff that catches her head. And there are men, you shouldn't get the wrong idea, there are men out there who have enjoyed this book. Actually,
I didn't enjoy it.
No, I know. I know. It is like, I suppose it's like a Martian visiting Venus, you know, to use the pop culture.
Right.
But there were men, you know, there are men out there who did enjoy it, and there are other men out there who, you know, who just look you in the face and say, exactly.
that was
my dog groaning. But they just say, women really think like this? And I, you know, yeah. All I can say is, you know, I don't know how all women think. I'm sure.
I'm
sure.
All the dogs are making noises now. It's a lot of fun, and it is a romp.
It's a screwball adventure. Did I say that already?
You might have done. We can back up the tape and check it later, and if we didn't, we'll insert it.
All right.
As much fun as Ivy is, Ivy's done. Ivy's in the box. Ivy's in the shrink wrap. And we know that you have the sequel to this one in the works. Is that what you're on right now?
No, but I should say that when I do have the sequel finished, mm-hmm. I plan to reissue Ivy on CD and maybe even on MP3. And as both books will be available in two, possibly three formats rather than just on cassette.
Right.
I put it out on cassette because I personally prefer audiobooks on cassette, and I am a serious audiobook junkie.
Yes, you are. I can tell from the luminous library we're sitting in front of.
I have, and this isn't even half of it I have, but I prefer cassette because it's portable. It's portable. I mean, you can take it out of your car stereo and put it in your Walkman. If you're in the middle of something big and you don't want to miss the denouement just because you stopped driving.
Sure, you can mark your spot. I don't know how that's handled in MP3. That'd be interesting to find out. And I'm sure your tech folks will direct you with that.
I guess MP3 can break down into tracks just like CDs, but I don't know.
You're the author. Worry about writing stuff.
Really?
So
hand that over to someone else.
You are working on the next Ivy Appleton right now?
No, or? I'm not. I'm working on... While I was trying to get myself back into Ivy's head, I instead was inspired to write a play, which I'm, again, as an independently minded person, hope that I can get produced produce myself here on one of the stages in Atlanta. Doesn't have to be one of the big stages, but...
How big is the play? What is it about?
It's about a middle-aged woman, so she's maybe 10 years older than Ivy.
Sure.
Who I'm currently calling Ellen, but she could be called anything by the time it's finished. And she has been, as her middle age is approaching or becoming imminent or evident, she started to reconnect with people from her past, people mm-hmm. that she hasn't seen for decades. And I find that people around me, it's been interesting because I started writing this before I noticed that people around me were doing all this reconnecting. I had started to do some reconnecting, which is what made me think of it.
Right.
And she has connected with several people from her high school and college days. And one of them in particular is a man she was involved with romantically who unceremoniously dropped her on her keister. Not literally.
Right.
But... and when she found him, she decided that she needed an explanation because it had unsettled her. And of course, there are ripples. It's not like she... Well, I haven't written it all yet, but there are, you know, there are ripples. Things happen in your past that, you know, affect...
Sure,
everything affects everything.
Sure there are. And anytime anybody's been in a situation like that, you always wonder.
So she, you know, it never occurred to her that she didn't have closure, but when she started making these reconnects and she stumbled on his name... and reconnected, she decided she needed an explanation.
So, and like so, a blank spot she didn't realize she had.
Mm-hmm. And refuses to let him give it to her in via mail or email or telephone. They decided to do a face-to-face. And the story takes place... Oh, and of course, because she's a woman, or because she's a woman of my creation, she can't just wait for it to happen and let it be whatever it'll be. She decides that, or she doesn't decide, she can't help but imagine different scenarios of this reconnection, of this face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
And
how are you going to do that in a stage play?
Well, what she's doing is, because some of the face-to-face meetings that she imagines with him are unsettling. And some of them are, you know, some of them should be funny. And perhaps some of them sad because it's play, but some of them are unsettling. And so where the play takes place is in a hotel room in the city where she's going to have this face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
But she's walking around the hotel room, probably in her bathrobe, on the speakerphone talking to her shrink because she's about ready to bolt. She's about ready to decide that it's so unsettling that maybe she shouldn't do this at all. Maybe she should just go and leave the hole, forget it.
Walk away.
Just let it go.
Yeah.
Maybe it's better this way. Not knowing might be better than, you know, knowing, which I personally can't imagine, but I suppose it's possible.
That's the way I handle several relationships, accidentally and unintentionally and regretfully. So I think that that's interesting.
You mean leaving the hole? Leaving the...
Well, running away, you know, maybe in 20 years or so, I'll
go back and look at it.
Go back and poke at it.
Well, obviously, she didn't demand an explanation at the time, or if she did, she doesn't remember.
Right.
Which is interesting.
I'd like to see this done.
All I really need to do is find a theater that's willing to take a play that's new. And I know there's a lot of competition out there, but I do have a few connections, and so do you.
Just get it written.
Mm-hmm. Royalty-free. Produce me on your stage. It'll be no royalties.
And you said that the lead character's name is still not pinned down, so maybe people could bid, send you offers of...
Of first names?
First names. Money attached to it, maybe.
You want to bribe me to use your daughter's name? I'll think about it. Tiffany probably won't fly, though.
Well, that's bad. You're eliminating the Tiffanys.
Ellen just isn't a Tiffany.
She's not.
She's just Ellen. She's not a Tiffany. Her best friend could be a Tiffany. That's a possibility.
So it's about time to wrap up, and before we do, I'd like to give one last nod to Beebe's book, audiobook, Ivy Appleton, Prop Widow. We didn't really talk about what the topic of the book is, the subject, where it happens, which is really interesting to me because it kind of strikes close to home.
I guess I did say Barbara's husband is a prop master, but I didn't say that the book takes place within the film industry and not the side of the film industry that you see, you know, mostly on television, which is when you see somebody walking, you know, when a TV character walks onto the set of something, you see the director and you see the actors. And we don't really see too much of that in this book, a little bit, but it's the crew. And her husband is on the crew. And she surprises him with a visit to the location of the movie, Three Cornered Love, which is being shot in Wilmington, North Carolina, where a lot of movies have been shot in the past. And horrible and wonderful things happen while she's there, trying to surprise her husband, who surprises her back. I like the take, and I did it on purpose. Made it about the part of the film industry that most people don't see much. Making a movie is a tech rehearsal that lasts sometimes for 3 months.
And if you're lucky, it lasts for 8 months. You get on a big show. For any of you who are in film that might want to, a fun mystery, thriller...
Screwball adventure.
Screwball adventure. Really appreciate you giving me your time for this interview today.
I had a lot of fun. Thanks, Andrew.
It was a lot of fun. And I appreciate you guys out there on the interweb listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you tune in next time. This is your pal, Drew. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.